Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I hope all is well with you. Well, tonight we begin journeying through grief, finding hope and healing. The topic tonight is how long does grief last? Share, don't compare. Talking is healing. People often say grief is like a roller coaster ride. It pulls you up and then drops you down. It twists and twirls, leaving your heart in your throat and your mind in a blur. Well, you may feel like you are a roller coaster. There are moments when you seem like you're really moving upward. Then all of a sudden, a sight, a song, a smell, a remind of you and your loved one, and the roller coaster just jerks downward, and you feel like you're falling back to where you were before when it first happened. When you lose that special loved one, your spouse, your mother, father, brother, son, a word that you don't like using or repeating, died. That word is a permanent word, but one day you will be with them in heaven. No one knows the tears still inside. People think it's all past. It will all pass. They think it'll be all better. Every once in a while, I think, I hope, I pray that things will be better too. But then I remember, and the pain blows back, and the bottom falls out. And I fall, I fall, and I fall. And know once again that things aren't all better. My loved one is gone, and I cry alone. How much longer, God? How long does this last? Well, the first topic tonight is how long does grief last? Guess what? As long as it takes. someone said, this is a story that someone said, this man talked about his wife. He wrote that losing a loved one is like having your leg amputated. You don't get over an amputated leg. The wound may heal, but the leg will never grow back. In another sense, grief does end. Eventually, intense pain subsides. Many people describe grief as waves from a storm crashing on the shore. The waves are very large, coming at you one right after another. Remember when you're on the beach, how the waves come at you? Each wave knocks you flat. Often you don't even have time to get back on your feet after one wave before the next. One knocks you down. But gradually the wave gets smaller and further apart. And more often you'll be able to balance yourself and stay on your feet. You know how you, when you get on the beach and the water just, it seems like you're moving, you know, you're standing there, still in the sand, not really all the way in the water, but the water comes floating to you, and you feel like you're moving with the wave. But sometimes if you're further, into the, on the beach or the ocean, that wave will just knock you flat. And that's how you feel when you're going through grief. Sometimes it will knock you flat down. But just knowing that God has the strength, power to get you back up again. We got to have faith in him and ask him for the strength that you need to get back up again. Right now, the most important thing you can do is not let anyone, including yourself, pressure you to stop grieving. You can't stop the waves of grief from hitting you any more than you can stop storm waves from rolling on the shore. The waves need to come and until they gradually subside. Grief seems simply takes time. It can't be rushed or hurried. Take all the time you need and let the wave come. Share, but don't compare. Sharing what you are going through with others who are grieving can be very helpful. It is reassuring to learn that other people are struggling with some of the same feelings or issues as you. Sharing also make it possible for two or more people to support and comfort each other. Sharing, let me give you an example. When you come to the widows meeting at my home, you see many widows. Everyone shares the same loss, but the difference is the month, the year is different. They may have was sick, and maybe they died unexpectedly, but it's all the same loss. But while sharing is good, don't compare your grief to anyone else. Trying to decide who grieved a loss is greater or lesser won't reduce either person's pain. Comparing grief always causes problems. Pairing grief can cause heartaches. You're already feeling terrible because of the loss. Thinking you should grieve a specific way or for a certain amount of time to match another person's grief will only make yours feel worse. Losses are never comparable. Share yourself the added pain. Comparing grief can cause tension. Every member of the same family grieving the same loss won't grieve the same way. One man told about his mother was angry at him because he felt he wasn't grieving enough after his brother died. He said, I wasn't showing the same emotion intensity for as long as she was. So she felt that I didn't love my brother enough. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes we feel that way when we don't see people cry. When Al first died, that first week, I guess I cried a lot when it first happened. But as I was getting and preparing the funeral arrangement, I was just focused on. I pretty much put myself. I guess I was in shock. And I was in that mode where I knew that I needed to get through this week. I needed to get this funeral arrangement together. Pretty much I just was just in that mode of just, I blocked everything out. And I knew what I had to do. And I didn't cry much that week because my sister, I heard her talking to someone, said, but she won't cry. But she wasn't here when it first happened, so she didn't see the tears that I shared at the beginning. And also she would talked about me not eating as well. I didn't think of those things. You don't think of those things. But just knowing that we all grieve differently and we shouldn't compare our emotions with someone else. It's different. But getting back to the story of the mother and son, he indicated that his mother felt that he was not grieving. He didn't love his brother enough. I loved him dearly, but my grief was just different from hers. Trying to compare grief just creates more tension. Comparing grief could cause unrealistic expectations. Although you know mostly what's going on inside of you, you can never really exactly know what's going inside of another person. Looking on from the outside, you draw certain conclusions. We all do that about the way another person is grieving. We try to figure out what are their feelings and what are they grieving. You may think you know what the person is feeling, but you don't, not really. What the other person says is going on and what you believe is going on are often very different from what exactly is going on inside of that person. You are setting expectations for yourself that may have no basic reality. A grieving father shared once these wise words, grief is progress, not a race. You can't measure your own grief by someone else's calendar or rules. Give yourself as much time as you need and grieve however you need to grieve. Share your grief with others. It does help. But don't compare. Grieve the way you need to grieve and recognize that others need to grieve the way that's right for them. Talking is healing. I find that talking is always healing, not just for losses. If you talk to us, you find that when you talk, you gather information. And sometimes information that you might need or never heard. So this talking period, it's helpful. And talking to someone about your grief, if for some reason, if you're going through a very emotional moment, I've always mentioned before, find yourself a prayer partner, a safe person that you can talk to all your feelings about, and they won't be judgmental, but they'll be there to listen. Always find a person that you can pick up the telephone and call them and and let them know how you're feeling. It's good to talk it out. Let it all out. You'll feel better. And I'm sure some of you have experienced that, and you see that you feel better when you talk it out. At a conference, this story about someone was at a conference, and there were this person was there, and he was saying that he was raised a certain way, to always keep a stiff upper lip. From his father, that's what his father raised him to always be. From time to time, when he was a child, he was taught not to cry, show his feelings. Years later, when his father died, he couldn't really grieve because he kept feeling bottled up inside, just as he's been taught. And by keeping his feelings hidden, it became harder and harder for him to do. Well, one day he went to his mother, who had always taught him to be strong and emotionless. He told her that he was sorry and he couldn't keep up any fun anymore. He needed to cry, and he was sad and talked about how much he missed his father. Of course, his mother her husband as well, but she was doing the same thing. The man was afraid his mother was very disappointed with him. Instead, he threw her arms around him and began to sob. She told him the story. Early on in our marriage, your father and I went to a party. A woman there who husband had died a few months ago, and sometimes something caused her to just burst into tears. And you know what I'm saying? This is not, you know, I've heard this many times. I have had widows told stories where they were in a department store where there was memories in that department store, and she just started crying, and she was uncontrolled. She just could not control her emotions. So we all get that way, that where something triggers our memory about someone that we have, you know, lost. And we all feel that way sometimes. And there are going to be many memories that you will feel that way. But it gets easier. One day you're going to start thinking about that person, and there won't be any tears. It takes, but getting back to the story, the father said something caused her. Something caused her to burst into tears, and she began talking about how much she missed missed him. And the father was shocked by her behavior. And on the way home, he told them, "I would be totally humiliated." If you ever behave that way, any member of my family had better be strong and always keep a stiff upper lip. From that day, she swallowed all her emotions. It was the way that the father wanted it, and it was how she was raised. But I'm sure you've heard stories like that before. And I'm sure that on many occasions you bottle up your feelings and don't let it be expressed to others. Well, the man and his mother decided right then that they would no longer expect each other to keep a stiff upper lip. Instead, they would talk, they would share their feelings, and they would cry, and they would be human together. Now, I know that many of you might have children, and the children is grieving a certain way too. They sometimes have different behavior. It's according to how their ages, their behavior changes. You know, I have had someone whose children did not want to go to the house where the mother and father lived, that they could not deal with the absence and the memory of their loss. And they it was very hard for them to, took some time for them to get through that. I had someone who, two young ladies who lost her mother, was a good friend of mine as well, and was my hair stylist. And she passed away several years, husband did. But the two daughter was very close. They were really, I mean, like twins. That's how close they were. But the day that mother passed, the oldest daughter became very, I hate to say evil, began doing things that you would never expect. Didn't want to share anything that belonged to the mother, to the younger one. Didn't want her to make any decisions at all. They did just so many different things that the younger one said, I can't understand why she's doing this. I mean, she is just keeping me away from everything. I mean, she was just so upset. She was hurting more on the loss of her closeness of her sister than her mom, because she didn't have time to grieve because of the difficulty that they, you know, they were sharing among each other. So grieving is so difficult for some people. I mean, everybody grieved differently. But later on, this is now closer than ever. She had to go get professional help, and then later she realized that she was using her sister, you know, as that. She was putting her sister through all this emotion because of how she was feeling the loss of her mother, of their mother. But now they're best of friends and they're very close. But there was a time period. She had to get through that time period. And sometimes we have to do the same thing, too, to get through this time that we need to. But pray and ask God for you not to go through that, not to shut your family members away from you because of how you're hurting. They care about you, but sometimes they don't know what the right thing to say to you. So just know that they still love you, and try not to go through those things, because I know it's hard and it's know it's difficult, but just think that you're hurting those other people a lot when you shut them out and you do those different things. But getting back to that's why it's oh so important that you need to know when, if you need to get professional help, because sometimes a support group is not enough, or that safe person is not enough to talk to. Grief is not handled well alone. God made us social beings, and when we lose a loved one, we desire and need the help and assistance of others. Talking is healing. Talking helps you locate your pain, bring it to the surface, and let it go. And because your wound doesn't suddenly go away, the pain reoccurs. And you need to talk about it again and again and again. That's why grieving people need to talk about the same feeling, a memory, over and over again. Not sometimes, but over and over again sometimes. Release all those feelings. And one day, the hurt, it won't hurt anymore. You can smile and talk about it without crying. I want to read something about from Mother Teresa. There is a light in the world, a healing spirit, more powerful than any darkness we may encounter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when there is so much suffering, too much pain. Then suddenly the spirit will emerge through the lives of ordinary people who care and answer in extraordinary way. You only have 5 more minutes. That's the 3 topics that I wanted to go through tonight. The next topics you'll talk about next week will be dealing with anger, letting go of guilt, and mentioning your loved one's name. Those are the three things we'll talk about next week. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you are everywhere in all things. Give us strength to go forward, knowing that grieve as long as it takes. When the wave knocks us down, helps us to get back up. We know as we share our grief and talk about it, it does help the progress. We thank you, we praise you, and we magnify your holy name. Amen, amen, amen. We have some announcements before the end of the show. There are three announcements I have. It's our next meeting, our first meeting of the year. The next Chapter Widows Ministry meeting will be this coming Saturday, January 19th, from 9 to 11 a.m., and we will have a continental breakfast prepared. We will also be giving you a calendar of events for the year. The next announcement is payment is now due for our trip to Biltmore Estate, which is going to be June 18th through the 20th. And we need that payment as soon as possible. Please invite others so we can fill the bus. We need your support. If you need any flyers, please let me know. I can email it to you. I can, you know, a lot of you at church, at my church, can also pick one up from me. I'll be giving out this coming Sunday at church as well. Your payment is due. You can contact me at 770-981-9118. That's 770-981-9118. We also are going to be celebrating Valentine next month. It's going to be on February 16th. It's going to be Times Day Paint and Sip. Save that date. I will give you more detail. It's going to be on February 16th. That's a Saturday. The Saturday after Valentine is on a Thursday, and we are going to be celebrating Valentine together. And it's going to be paint and sip. And the time is going to be 1:30, starting at 1:30. It's going to be for a couple of hours. Later on, I'm not ask you to give me the names right this minute, but I'm focused on trying to get the payments in because that's very important because I'm going to need to notify the tour company in another week of how many people I already have that's going to be attending this trip. We have great fun. It's 3 days and two nights, and just knowing that you will not regret it. So that is the end of our show. I will. I am going to put on Travis Green, Made Away. Thank you so much for tuning in and invite others. And I hope that these sessions are helpful to you. Let me know if there anything that I can do. I'm always available at that number I just gave to talk. And if you want to talk to me, I am available. I will call you back if I don't answer the phone. So just knowing that I am a late bird, I stay up late at night. Well, I do go to at 12 o'clock, I try to go to sleep, but I tend to not be able to go to sleep until then. So just knowing that I am available to you whenever you need to talk to someone, if you don't have that safe person in your life, a partner, but be prayerful. God is able, and this year is your year to get through all of this. The journey through grief, it's a journey, but just knowing that we are here to walk with you, talk with you, and be with you. Be blessed and have a great week. Tune in again next week, same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m. And if you are a widow, please come and join us at our meeting this coming Saturday. Be blessed and good night.
when our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made our way. And we're standing here only because you made our way. Deserve the love and mercy you show me.